Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Libraries, schools, and colleges are inundated with pro-homosexual material. K-12 schools are targeted by groups like GLSEN, the Gay Lesbian Straight Education Network, and PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. Many bullying programs also promote homosexuality. We're beginning to see some resources that speak the truth about the dangers of the homosexual lifestyle and that people are not born, quote-unquote, gay. And these resources are becoming more available. We're going to be talking about some of these resources during today's program. My guest is Regina Griggs, and she is with PFOX, which is Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays. Thanks, Regina, for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
So let's just start at the beginning. And what is PFOX, and what is your mission?
Okay. PFOX originally started, and I have been the executive director for 13 years, and it was an educational and support group for families of those who have loved ones, friends, family that identify as homosexual or struggle with same-sex attraction. And it was a place for parents to go, for church to send people, clergy, because homosexuality, while we know the behavior is sinful, many people don't seek nor do they want to have same-sex attraction. Mm-hmm. So we need a way to reach out to families and to these people, and that was the whole goal. I have a child, adult child now, who lives openly as a homosexual. Mm-hmm. I have a niece who was in a commitment ceremony in New Jersey years ago, who's now the mother of a two-year-old child. Mm-hmm. So I had both gay and ex-gay members in my family. Mm-hmm. And it's how do we combine these? And how do we get parents to come out of the closet so these things are not going on in our schools?
Yeah.
And that's through education, prayer, and support.
Absolutely.
And that was the sole purpose, having someone that you could talk to, not be ashamed, not be fearful of what you said.
Mm-hmm. Because more and more we see parents who may have a child who has same-sex attraction, unwanted same-sex attraction, and they go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and those feelings are reaffirmed rather than them being told the truth about the dangers of that lifestyle and the fact that they are not born, quote-unquote, gay, and that these feelings can be overcome. So your group was there for that purpose, to educate and to be a go-to place for parents who had children and also for the children themselves who had unwanted same-sex attraction.
That's correct. I also served for 3 years as the vice president of Transformation Christian Ministries, which was a ministry providing help and resources to those hoping to overcome same-sex attractions for both men and women. So my life was well-balanced. We have the families over here, and then I had the ability to interact and learn directly from these men and women, what their root causes were, what it was like to try to overcome them, and to sort of be a surrogate parent because many had not told their family.
Yeah, and that is so needed because increasingly we see anyone who goes public about the fact that they're ex-gay, they are being persecuted because homosexual activists know that if someone is ex-gay, identifies as ex-gay, that means people are not born that way. They're not born as homosexual. And that's one reason homosexual activists so vehemently attack anyone who goes public that they're ex-gay.
Oh, absolutely. And my child said to me, Mother, have you ever Googled your own name? I said, no, I never really thought about it. He said, you might find those 100-some-odd articles about you.
Yeah.
Interesting. We have a wonderful,
well, that's good,
loving, unconditional relationship, and that's what parents need to come to,
absolutely,
ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's what the kids need no matter what station in life they are at.
And, you know, we have to learn, and I have done, oh gosh, I think 7 interviews in Montgomery County, Maryland, alone with all of the student newspapers.
Oh.
And I will tell you that the children, if you explain to them what feelings are about, the fact that you're not being given the scientific information, then those schools, they would not even allow our sexual orientation change brochure because it listed the statistics, the AIDS statistics, which when we were doing this a couple of years ago, mean, you know, we thought they were deplorable when they were 69 and 70% of the people tested by the CDC. Mm-hmm. Well, now that we're up to the mid-90s, I guess maybe we have to hit 100, be batting 100, before these school districts are going to take any action.
Because when you look at those statistics, it's extremely frightening. And I'm glad you brought up Montgomery County, Maryland, because you were involved and you've become more involved politically, I guess would be the right word, but you become involved in fighting the advancement of the homosexual agenda and the passage of homosexual special rights ordinances like they were trying to pass in Montgomery County. And, Montgomery County, Maryland is terrible.
Unfortunately, they did pass a lot of them.
Yeah, they did.
One of my board members and one was on that panel. We've had somebody on that panel until about 2 years ago. Mm. So for 10 years, we've sat there and tried to argue the point, bring in science studies, bring in CDC. And CDC report?
Truth doesn't count anymore. What were you told about that, CDC? What did they tell you about the CDC?
I don't approve of adding that to the curriculum. We don't want to make the children feel bad. I guess we'd rather make them feel dead.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to literally bite my tongue because that was my response.
So they don't want to tell the kids the truth, even
make them feel bad.
Yeah, because it makes them feel bad.
Right.
Instead,
you should experiment. And, of course, and I'm not going to give any credit to the person that put this out there, but we, there is a YouTube out there that has one of the gay leaders who was on the O'Reilly Show that actually went on there and said it was safe to have sex with people who had AIDS. He was educated, and if you were just cautious, it was safe, and he knew stuff, and he had sex with more than one person that had AIDS or was HIV positive.
Isn't that
a message to send 8 million people?
Yeah. No wonder so many young men, CDC defines young men who have sex with men as down to 13 years of age, by 13 to 24 or something like that.
Yeah, no wonder how does a 13-year-old catch AIDS,
exactly. Obviously, he wasn't safe enough. Didn't follow this guy's instructions.
Well,
crazy.
And did he get it from another 13-year-old or a 33-year-old?
That's a good question. Yeah, more than likely a 33-year-old.
Believe me, we've tried them all. We've actually had to sue Montgomery County and get their curriculum thrown out. They're bringing it all back.
Because
as we have seen, and that seems to be a problem with we Christians and many families, is that we think, okay, we won that. We won that
time
one.
To go home. Yeah.
6 months later, it starts back.
Give them
6 years, and it's all back, including Just the Facts, which is a horrible document that discriminates against the ex-gay community, against churches, and tells you that not all churches believe homosexuality is wrong. And you can go to PFLAG and search their churches and read their, whatever you call them, the sermons to find a church in your local area that supports homosexuality. Behavior. Yeah, I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking...
Unfortunately, we do see churches who are more and more, especially mainline denominations,
absolutely,
who are falling into the pit and accepting homosexuality as being, as not being sinful. And I'm thinking, what Bible are you reading?
Well, we just went through this with the Methodist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And Karen Booth, who's a wonderful woman who leads their ex-gay ministry, was on their board. We had an actual licensed minister within that church marry his 23 or 4-year-old son and partner.
Was that the one up here?
That is against the Methodist Church.
Yeah, was that the one here in Lebanon County, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Of course, as you know, he was finally removed as a minister.
Yeah. But then again, we have a bishop over in California who's offering him a job. United Methodist Bishop in California offering him a job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so at some point, and my brother-in-law, I am not Methodist, but my brother-in-law is. And is an attorney for the church. So, we've talked about much of this, and it all comes back to the legalities are within the church to remove these people, which
they did.
But the problem that I see with many of the churches is that they do have a child, a brother-in-law, sister-in-law, somebody within the immediate family who now identifies as being homosexual.
Yeah.
And so they don't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
They don't know how to have unconditional love for someone without compromise. Well, if we have to compromise, it's no longer unconditional.
Yeah, and that's part of PFOX's mission, is to help them come to terms with their child's homosexuality. Is that pretty much what PFOX, at least part of PFOX's mission,
That is definitely part of our mission, is getting, and we need to get out of the closet. I will tell you, when we've had group meetings, when we've had conferences, people feel like they can openly talk mm-hmm. because, hey, she's got a child, and that one has a husband, and this one, you know. So they feel that they're able
they're not alone.
To openly discuss and look for ways to build that help, that type of loving family relationship with this individual. But at the same time, they won't share it within their own church, and they won't share it because everybody still carries, and you know, the gays say, oh, we're trying to make people feel guilty. No, we really are not trying to make people feel guilty. But it is a sense for many parents of failure. Mm-hmm. Why didn't my child, and that bothered me more than behavior, why did my child not feel they could come to me? Well, there was a book put out about 10 years ago by people I called Why Ask Why. We haven't been able to get another copy of it. And that's their goal. Why ask why? Hey, you know, if you're that way, I endorse it, I'm fine, I'll go march in the parade with you. I don't want to know why. I am not interested in whether this is due to molestation, single parent, bullying. They don't want to know. You know, let's just make it all normal, fine, natural, and healthy.
You were just
write that
way,
kind of
I mean,
a booklet and give that to parents, which is their sole goal.
Yeah, exactly. Don't try to get to the root cause, the root problem, that's for sure. Well, you recently sent out an email listing some of the resources that PFOX... I did want to throw in one thing, though. There was a great victory when PFOX was successful to get Washington, D.C. to include ex-gays in their anti-discrimination ordinance.
Absolutely.
That was a great victory.
We are a nonprofit and a somewhat small organization. We are national, but I have some of the greatest board members one would ever hope to have. But we actually had to raise money and hire a civilian lawyer, non-Christian, not involved in life issues, marriage, or anything else, but was a reverse discrimination lawyer. And he knew how to handle that. And he was fabulous.
Good.
So we were successful because the success was not only did we have a wonderful lawyer who was willing, because you can imagine the hate mail he got after we won, and that's the goal. He's trying to put you out of business. But the thing that people have to come to grips with is, okay, we have now won, so we now are protected. That's a city, and, of course, it can be used, that ruling, in various locations, which is even more important.
But
you have to have people who are willing to stand and take what's thrown at you, because it will be. But the most important thing is, why, if you can come out of homosexuality and you have unwanted same-sex attractions, should you not be allowed to?
Exactly.
That is your right.
Yeah.
I have had death threats. I've had to call the police. I've had him at my house.
Wow.
I've had him in my office.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a nice little people who say, you know, who are fighting. They are going over the top.
Yeah.
And
because they want to silence the other side, period. They just want their story, their side.
Absolutely. I've been told that, you know, I can't handle the fact that I have an open homosexual child and, you know, what a horrible mother I must be that I can't accept that. Well, gosh, I think if I've had both the kids in my house, the partner included, we've exchanged birthday presents, Christmas presents. You know, when we're being hit by a hurricane, I lived down on the bay. This kid came down and helped us board up our house.
Oh,
so it's not a question of being willing to provide love. I was told, God led me down the road to my salvation, you might say, because I used to think, and this is what happens if we don't read, if we don't educate ourselves, if we don't support the ex-gay community, have them into your house, make sure they're speaking in your churches. I was convinced, well, somebody led my child down the road. My child wouldn't have gotten involved if it hadn't been for X or Y or this person across the street, et cetera. You know, you want to look to blame someone else. You don't want it to say, well, gee, maybe I should have looked at what was going on in the schools. What are my children being taught? And believe me, they're now they're not even hearing both sides.
Now
it is being endorsed, enforced. They're going to kill themselves. They have no life. You don't love your child, et cetera, et cetera. We have got to get beyond that point. We are letting a force of evil into our schools, take over our schools, tell our children. I mean, they've given booklets. If you go home and your parents don't support you, call us back. There's a list.
We'll
go to this
support.
Church. Here's a sermon. Because the whole point is to kill the family.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what you see, especially from these youth, a lot of these youth, homosexual youth organizations. They definitely have the brochures and the information that you're talking about. If your parents don't like you or don't accept you for who you are, as you identify as homosexual, then come to us. We will accept you with open arms. And that's why we see a lot of times youth who will do that, who will go to these organizations and come in contact with older homosexuals, a lot of times older men, if it's a young man, and maybe that explains some of the 13-year-olds who have AIDS now, who have HIV.
That's
crazy.
Right.
Yeah. But your email said that you had ex-gay speakers who were available.
Yes, we do. We have people who can speak. We have former lesbians. Some are actually lead PFOX parents organizations. We have men and pastors who are out of the homosexual lifestyle who lead some of our organizations out west. We have board members who are not only ex-gay, but they are psychotherapists who are members of NARTH who can speak at a school, can speak from a legal position and can talk about therapy, the positive side of it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Christian Southern Baptist minister who's out of a lifestyle who can talk about the church and where we need to go. We have a board member who runs a transgender ministry. Her father was a transgender. So we have all these wonderful resources and people who are prepared to share their testimony and can speak both from a Christian viewpoint and a secular viewpoint.
And that's
what we need.
We need
people to demand equal access and to get these ex-gays into their schools. And unfortunately, you may have to force your church to allow them to come and share their testimony on a Sunday in the church.
Yeah, because...
And the Christian youth group, where we should be working, not only in the schools, but what about the youth groups and our churches?
Exactly, because the churches don't want...
What message are we sending them? Are we telling them the difference? There are so many biblical arguments that support the change is possible.
Mm-hmm.
We have these wonderful men and women sitting in your pews. Are they being honored? And many churches know who they are. Are we afraid to provide support? And I'm paying taxes to a school district that says you can't change, that won't allow people to come in, when we have the living proof that change is possible.
Yeah, and those speakers, those individuals are willing to come and speak to that issue. And I totally agree. The church needs to address this issue and needs to bring ex-gay speakers in who will speak the truth about homosexuality and the change is possible, but churches don't want to address this. And so that means the kids in their youth group and the adults sitting in their pews are not being told the truth, are not being given the biblical perspective of this issue that is dominating politics in the U.S., is dominating the entertainment media, is dominating a lot of school curriculum. It's frightening that the church is afraid to address this issue because too many times they view this as a political issue, which it's not. It's an issue
of the soul.
Absolutely.
I mean, if we're not using the Bible to teach sexuality and marriage from the scriptural standpoint, what are we doing?
Exactly.
We're going to take them to some theme park. We're going to have Bible study week. We're going to have camping trips. We do all these wonderful things with youth and tell them nothing. Those are the times when you have these kids together. If you've got 100 kids,
What better opportunity?
Fabulous opportunity. And if you want to believe the statistics that 2% of the population, struggles, you've got two kids sitting there at your camp
that needs to hear
struggling.
What
are you doing about it?
Yeah, for sure.
And we have so many speakers that are willing to go, that are willing to donate the weekend, to take the time. We felt that it was time not only to have these educational resources, and we have fabulous brochures about bullying, sexual orientation change, gender identity. We come up with a fifth brochure. It's titled, Is Someone in Your Church Gay? The ABCs of Reaching Out. And we list all the different things for parents to look through. But the sad part is, I find that before I moved out of the D.C. area, I had more people attending. I did this quarterly because I felt it was important to get more people into a comfortable environment. I would have a meeting and have 15 or 20 people at a meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday for coffee and Danish or whatever. Mm-hmm. They would come to my house. The following week, when it was at their church, they wouldn't show because there's a stigmatism, a taboo within the churches. Not a teaching opportunity, a healing opportunity, but a time to feel ashamed.
Yeah, well, that's
and
terrible.
We need to get beyond that.
Yeah.
And that's our goal. This year we are going to dedicate ourselves to getting the message out, to getting into the church messages. We are going to start a billboard campaign because we have got to find a way. The media will never interview you. They're not going to put us in the Washington Post unless it was in a negative way.
Oh, yeah, that's for
so
sure.
So we need to find a way
to promote
that change is possible. But more importantly, the churches need to allow our men, our women, family members. We have members whose husbands have moved back into a homosexual lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who are transgendered, and we're passing laws that let 8-year-olds in California and in Massachusetts take hormones.
Mm-hmm.
How many 8-year-olds know what they want to be?
Well, and that's a very good question, because they don't. They're 8 years of age, they don't know, but they're being influenced by what they see on television. They're being influenced by what they're reading or being exposed to in schools, and they're being influenced by possibly their parents who are very liberal, who are just going along with this. I mean, I can't imagine parents who'd be willing to consent to having their 8-year-old be given hormone treatment.
It's happening in Berkeley, we know, at Children's in Boston.
Yeah.
And one has to question, and in some cases, they are same-sex couples. Now,
if
you have two mothers and you're a little boy,
mm-hmm.
what do you think you want to grow up to be?
Oh, yeah, obviously a little girl, because that's your household.
It's not innate. It's not inborn.
Right.
You cannot change, and we have all these people saying we need to recognize that people change their sexuality. Well, no, you don't.
You're right.
DNA, biologically, you're male, you're female.
Oh, yeah.
And that bothers me, because we have cartoon shows out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have wonderful people who've come out of transgenderism.
Yeah. But
we have a minister.
Yeah.
We have a man who had a sex change and had it reversed.
Mm-hmm.
PFOX has helped 4 people who had partial sex changes come back to the Lord and come back and be witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
We know that these things can be done.
Yeah.
But it's like there's a gag order out there.
Yeah. And that, a lot of this thanks to the news media and the homosexual activist organizations like, you know, Human Rights Campaign and such, PFLAG and such.
And let's
that.
Not forget GLAAD.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah, GLAAD, yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, everyone knows about GLAAD now.
They're going to defend everybody for free. But,
except one who's speaking the truth, like you guys or like Phil Robertson. Yeah, GLAAD will definitely.
Oh, exactly. And
yeah,
I mean, you know, I know I read what he had to say, and maybe it was a little rough around the edges. But
I think that's him. I think he's rough around the edges. So,
exactly.
I mean, that was just, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But what he said happens to also be factual.
Yeah.
God created man and woman, and I'm tired of hearing that, you know, well, they never said, Jesus never said anything about homosexuality or marriage, and I always tell them, go read Matthew 19:4 and call me back.
Exactly.
But, you know, we have got to get better. Schools are important, and
mm-hmm.
we're fighting them,
mm-hmm.
and on a legal battle, if we need to be.
Yeah.
How do you fight the church?
That's a good question, because they're supposed to be on our side. You've made it easy. You say these speakers will come either in person or long distance via Skype, Google Hangout, or GoToMeeting.
Exactly.
So you've made it easy, and the church has no excuse. I mean, they can say whatever they want.
Guess it's better to let people lose their soul.
That would be. What other message is it that they're sending except that? They're saying that this is not important. They're saying the Bible has nothing to say about homosexuality. When they remain silent, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And that is so far from the truth.
And we don't want to forget, you know, that in Sodom, really, it was just about hospitality.
Oh, the lack of hospitality. They failed to read Jude 7. Yeah, exactly.
There are so many situations, and that is a problem, because, you know, we would have no problems getting into these schools. As big as Montgomery County is,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't even live in Maryland, but
mm-hmm.
I commuted there, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, I've also been to Pennsylvania to speak in other areas.
Yeah.
I guess I'm one of the few parents that's willing to come out and have something to say, and if you want to throw things at me, go right ahead. I really don't care.
Yeah, but, and that's good. We need more like that.
But I think if we had, in a situation like some of the things you've seen in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
if you had 10 ministers show up to testify, and you had youth following you into those
mm-hmm.
open meetings, do you really think they would pull and get by with what they're getting by with? We are the Christian community, and the churches are seen as non-entities.
Yeah.
They're not going to show. They're not going to open their mouth. It's political. Therefore, we can sexualize children.
Mm-hmm.
We can lie to them. We can deny equal access to ex-gays.
Yeah.
We can intimidate ex-gays. We can bully them. And we can have a wedding cake in California to show California, you may have voted twice, but we won.
We won, yeah, Roseville.
And so you
yeah.
look at all of these things, it would not be happening except the Christian community has allowed it.
It's silent. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like I said, we have people, ex-gays, sitting in churches.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. How can folks contact you if they're interested in getting this material that we didn't even get into the brochures, but you did mention to someone in your church, gay, which is one of the brochures you have available, but you have a lot more available, including some in Spanish. So you also have some Spanish resources available. So how can folks get these speakers into their churches, their conferences, or just if they can get a group together to meet with them whatever?
You can contact us. You can email me directly at pfoxmom, M-O-M, at pfox.org.
Okay.
You can email to our website, pfox at pfox.org. And when you go there, because we believe that these resources, all of the brochures, are critical, they are all on the opening page, and you know what? You can download any brochure you want at no cost and print them off.
Okay.
We encourage you to do it.
Okay, good.
Because it's important.
You
we
educate.
Want the resources
Absolutely.
Available. You have no excuse. Go to pfox.org, open that page up, and you'll see them all.
Okay, so pfox.org to get the brochures. Everything's right there as far as brochures and such, and then they can contact you directly if you want a speaker, an ex-gay speaker. Contact you directly at pfoxmom at pfox.org. Or to contact PFOX, it'd be PFOX at PFOX.org.
That's correct.
Okay, fantastic. I do encourage people to do that because we have to become educated on this issue because we're being flattened as far as when it comes to the advancement of the homosexual agenda. And their agenda is to silence those who oppose them. Their agenda is to destroy the family, destroy marriage, destroy the church in the process of getting their agenda in place. So, Regina, I appreciate your work there at PFOX and the effort that you've taken in trying to educate us on this issue that, by and large, the church is remaining silent. But people need to know they're ex-gays. People need to know that there's hope and that no one is born gay. And I appreciate it.
And most importantly, our children, our grandchildren, our family members need to know nobody chooses and wants same-sex attractions. And we worry about suicide. We worry about people making themselves ill. If you don't want these feelings and you're told, man up, it's who you are, you can't change, and there's nothing you can do, it's dangerous, et cetera. No, the danger becomes, and I'm depressed, I'm unhappy. I want a family. Mm-hmm. I want to live my life as a heterosexual man or woman.
Mm-hmm.
I want all the things that I see others around me have.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
When you're told you'll never get that, what could you be but depressed?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and I totally agree with that. Too many of these suicides, especially among kids who are popular kids. There was one in Pennsylvania a few years back. It was a popular kid, and 3 o'clock in the morning, he went for a walk, 3 o'clock in the morning from his house, and he deliberately stepped in front of a semi on Route 15 just north of Harrisburg. He identified as homosexual, but he was popular. Initial stories said that it's because of bullying, because, you know, he identified as homosexual. But subsequent stories, and as he interviewed some of the students he went to school with, they said he was popular. Teacher said he was popular, but he was struggling with that, being told that you're gay, this is who you are, accept it, and yet he was struggling with that identity.
And now we've carried it one step further and telling parents and teens you do not have the right to seek psychotherapy.
Yeah, and there's effort here in Pennsylvania to get that type of law passed, and we're hoping that it doesn't go anywhere.
Well, and we certainly want to support you. As I said, we have ex-gay therapists who are speakers who also travel. It's time that we take back our country.
Absolutely.
Provide the safety that these children need and a network that they can get involved in. There is help for them. There are other youth who are going through the same thing.
Yeah.
They're afraid to say, oh, I'm not happy. How about you? Because they don't know who they can trust. And if it's who I am and it's who I'm supposed to be, how can I ask anybody else how they feel about it? So they keep the feelings with inside.
Yeah,
they have
suppressed.
No one to share this with.
So again, I do encourage our listeners to go to pfox.org and get the brochures, which Regina said, you know, they're free. Take what you need, use what you need, and help in the process of educating people on the dangers and on the hope in the Lord that they can overcome these unwanted same-sex attractions.
And if you would like to be a part of the media blitz that we have decided, you can go to pfox at pfox.org and donate and let us know, because we do intend to do billboard. We do intend to do advertising. We have to pay for it. We're not going to get supported any other way.
Exactly.
So we are going to go out. This is our year.
Absolutely. Hey, appreciate it, and you take care and keep up the good
thank
work.
Thank you, and thank you much.
Okay,
bye.
Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.